morning and welcome to an Aloha Friday. I'm Beth Ann Kozlovich. This is The Conversation, and you are Chris Vandercook.
I always am. Always will
really?
Be.
Really? Sometimes I think there are other people who lurk inside.
Lurking
there.
Inside, yes.
One Pepe Le Pew, for example.
For example, yeah.
That's an old joke that we've had going for a long time.
That's
you do
right.
The best
that
Pepe Le Pew
right.
of anyone I know. But here we are on a Friday, and we're looking at ideas of what we see in our community and what may be some of the realities that are behind it in terms of the data. And it's not necessarily the same thing. Often expectations with many things don't sync with research, and you could make that argument about public perception too. Today's construction report from the UH Economic Research Organization turns on that point. What has appeared to be rapid growth, the cranes and the condo towers in Honolulu, for example, looks different next to the actual data. UHERO director Carl Bonham came into the studio earlier, and he put it this way.
Construction is not nearly as strong as the public thinks it is, and it's not nearly as weak as the economists think it is, because the economists are all looking at the data, the public is all looking at the cranes. And they look out their windows and they see all these cranes and they assume that there's this enormous amount of activity going on. And it is an enormous amount of activity for Kakaako relative to what we've, you know, been accustomed to. And then the economists look at the data and, for instance, you look at residential building permits. Well, they fell last year. Now, that's kind of hard to understand, right? Can you really believe that there was a decline in permitted residential building last year?
Especially as you're seeing all of those buildings go up in Kakaako.
Exactly. And the answer is probably not. As best we can tell, the answer is it takes a very long time between when a permit is applied for and when it's actually issued on high-rise residential towers. That's less true for the base, the superstructure that they put in at the beginning of a project. So you take a project like the Symphony. They're obviously putting up apartment buildings, condo buildings. They put the superstructure in and they put the glass condos on top of it, or glass surrounded condos. But there's been no permit issued for the residential side of that tower. It's been applied for, and presumably there are tentative approvals or whatever. There's a conversation going on. But the residential side of these buildings are sometimes taking 300 to 400 days to get the permit actually issued.
So that's a big lag between when we hear about the building possibly going up,
right,
and then you see it start, but then it sort of stops for a while.
Well, the data flow stops. The building is going on. And what that means for us is that these permits, at least for the high-rise construction, aren't a very good leading indicator. If anything, they're a lagging indicator. So we're going to get permit numbers this year that we think are really going to reflect activity that started last year. And so the construction cycle is stronger than the data suggests. And there's also problems with the tax-based data. There could be some problems even in the jobs data where some construction workers may not be getting counted as construction workers because companies that they work for are processing all of their HR data through another company. And so they may actually be showing up in the official statistics as something other than a construction worker.
Carl Bonham, isn't there also an issue with what's counted as being residential and what's not residential? I mean, looking at those apartment buildings and towers going up in Kakaako, for all the world, someone would look at that and say, oh, look, that's residential. But that doesn't seem to be translated into the data.
Well, the initial phase of that building is all non-residential. So the parking structure, the superstructure where there's offices and probably retail also, that all gets counted as non-residential. Now, an example actually of something that's clearly residential that's not counted that way is the work that has been done on top of Ala Moana. So anything that's going on top of whether it's the parking garage or, you know, a retail outlet is actually getting permitted as additions and alterations. So these are additions to the parking structure, but they're clearly residential. And so that's another example of where
perception doesn't quite meet with what's happening with the data.
I mean, we are building more residential units than the data suggests. But no matter how you slice it, last year was still a little bit weaker than, I think, perception, and then certainly weaker than any of the forecasters thought. Some of that's going to show up this year as the data sort of catches up. We think that we'll have modest growth, you know, kind of growing to moderate. What that does is that it pushes the cycle out a little bit further. So when you don't get this real big booming peak, you don't get as much cost pressure as fast. And it takes longer sort of for prices to kill off the activity, both on the demand side and the supply side. One other factor that we haven't talked about yet is the effect of rail. And in 2014, there were supposed to be 9 stations under construction, right? There were 9 stations in the first package that went out to bid, and that all got canceled, right? And we still haven't heard who the winning bidder is for the 3-station package, right? So one of the things that we've done in this forecast process is we've taken that into account so that you essentially, in the original plans for rail, there was this very rapid ramp up of activity that got you to a point where you were doing something on the order of 2 to 3 towers per year for rail. In other words, the equivalent of 2 to 3 condo towers of rail each year. That rapid ramp up means you've got to bring on more people, and it drives up costs. It does contribute to higher costs. It would have resulted in a larger increase in job counts and in overall activity. Now what we've got is we've kind of got it just more spread out. Whether or not we finish on time is another question, another issue. And fortunately, that's not in the time horizon on this forecast.
But what still is a big question for a lot of people is what may happen with Ho'opili and Coal Ridge.
Yes, absolutely. That's in the courts. They're waiting decisions. It's a very interesting problem. On the one hand, there is a strong desire to preserve, and it is in the Constitution. I actually saw something in the news. There were going to be some meetings on designating Port Nag lands. So there's this strong desire to preserve agricultural lands. On the other hand, we've got to build houses for our children or for us. And if we don't, then we're going to continue to see prices rise. Even if we do, we're going to continue to see prices rise. And the question is sort of how rapidly do those prices increase? If you look at just Oahu, we need to build about 4,000 housing units per year. And we haven't done that in years. Even if you did all of Ho'opili and all of Koa Ridge and all of Kaka'ako, you're just sort of barely keeping up with the housing that's needed just to keep up with population growth.
And that has nothing to do with the issue of affordability, which is a whole other part of
the equation. Well, it's sort of not directed at, say, workforce housing, right? But it contributes to affordability in the sense that if you don't build that stuff, prices are
going to shoot upwards.
Yeah. I mean, you simply will have inadequate supply to meet demand, and prices will go up even more. The fact that we're starting to see rental units being built, which is really interesting because that's not a feature of Honolulu. It is a feature of most major cities, New York or San Francisco or other places, where you actually build rental apartments. And there's a project for a city has a project in Kapolei. I think it's called the Kapolei Lofts. And there are a couple of projects in Kaka'ako. I've kind of speculated with my colleagues. I haven't talked much with developers about this yet, but I wonder whether when the cycle sort of starts to taper off here, or when the economy starts to weaken a little bit, whether we won't see some shift in that mix more towards the rental market. Again, it's just speculation, but I think that's a possibility. If you look at the longer term data, so you don't go to sort of get bogged down in what happened last year. If you look at the longer term data, we're at very near record lows of building. Now, granted, we don't need to build quite as much as we did 30, 40 years ago or 20 to 30 years ago when population was growing even faster. But we do have a problem of not producing enough housing.
Let's shift for a second because we haven't yet talked about CIP projects and what's been going on in the government sector, or frankly, what's been happening in the neighbor islands.
So the neighbor islands are still sort of bouncing along the bottom. They did show some growth, particularly in residential permits in last year. If you look at the dollar growth there, it was largely because of some fairly high-end houses, permits for high-end construction on the Big Island. There's not a large amount of activity on the neighbor islands. There is activity in something else we haven't talked too much about is
the telescope.
Telescope, one on Maui, the TMT starting up. The other thing that is going on that's having a fairly large impact on activity right now is in the hotel resort space and in the retail space. Now, again, that's mostly centered on Oahu, but, you know, there is activity on the neighbor islands. There have been some redevelopments. There's a Marriott planned on Maui. It's not huge numbers, but we are seeing them come off the bottom and add some to job growth. So it's stabilizing. On Oahu, in that resort space, there's a lot of activity going on. You know, you've got multiple projects in Waikiki, redevelopment of the international marketplace, condo towers going up, the Ritz. You've got the Ohana West, I think it is, being taken out for redevelopment. The Ihilani is taken out for redevelopment. And those are big projects. On the government side, that one's a little harder. I mean, last year, normally in an election year, you see an uptick in government contracts awarded.
But we had that more like, what, in
2013,
right?
Yeah. Some of these shifts can also be related to federal spending. And, you know, we've seen sequestration had a large bite in Hawaii. We've lost federal government jobs in large numbers in 2013 and in 2014. The state seems to be looking at sort of new CIP projects and saying, you know, costs are rising, private sector is going strong, you know, we have a relatively tight budget, let's not go crazy and kind of fall back to sort of more normal levels. And that's sort of what we've got in our forecast is government contracts in the $1 billion range every year. So not a whole lot of activity there. So I'm not sure I wouldn't really count TMT as government, right? That's a consortium. I don't know what you would call that.
Jobs for some people.
Yes. You know, when you look at the total price tag of TMT, a fair amount of that is for activity other than constructing things in Hawaii. But all in, it's positive for construction jobs. And longer term, you know, hopefully positive for fairly well-paying innovation jobs. Maybe not large numbers, but numbers that are important for the Big Island and important for our children.
So just to capitalize with all of this, Carl, as you look at the coming year and those people who have been waiting for construction to pop, well, clearly they're not going to get that, but they may get something that keeps them chugging along for longer than the peaks would indicate if, you know, we had a peak situation happen again. Is that something that should be incorporated into the way we look at a lot of things regarding the economy, not looking for these big pops, but really looking at it to be chugging along nicely for the people who are involved with it? And maybe that doesn't mean that everybody who had a job in construction gets to have another one, but that it's a more desirable position for us to be in?
Well, there's a very high cost to volatility and to big swings. And so, yes, I mean, if we could somehow or other orchestrate a Goldilocks economy with, you know, just the right amount of growth that never gets too hot or too cold, that would be great. This is just a forecast, yeah. Right? Hopefully, we get a little bit more growth than we're predicting, but it doesn't go crazy. You know, the cycle will end. It will end more than likely because of one or two factors. You know, the global economy or the U.S. economy go into recession, or we get price pressure here that outstrips our ability to purchase. So we don't build enough housing. The economy continues to grow. Demand goes up. Home prices go up faster and faster to higher levels, and it just squeezes more and more people out of the market. And it gets to the point where there aren't any buyers.
Or not buyers from here. They may be buyers from elsewhere, which would change literally the complexion of our population.
Those things will go hand in hand. If prices were to double, say, from where they are now, which is possible, it's happened before, that would squeeze out multiple types of buyers. Right? It wouldn't just be squeezing out local buyers, but it certainly would create serious affordability problems. So yes, if we can get sort of just enough growth long term, it's better for the construction workers. It's better for the average person on the street who would like to be able to find a apartment or a condo or something like that.
On that positive note, well, thank you very much for coming in and joining us this morning.
Thank you.
Carl Bonham is the UH Economic Research Organization's Executive Director and Professor of Economics. He was a founding member of UHERO in 1997. His research includes macroeconomics, applied econometrics and forecasting, tourism economics, and the Hawaii economy.